it's all good. Well, I'm not afraid. God's here, in spite of that. So. That was awesome. Man, you got me so fired up. Whoa, the whole thing.
Oh, well, 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 well. How many of you are excited for Doug Smith to be here tonight? Anybody? Woo, woo! Doug, we got a music stand coming. Don't worry. It's on its way, man. I know you. I know you very well. Come on up here, man. Let's put our hands together for Dougie. Can you teach me how to Dougie? Now, listen, I don't really get this opportunity because we always are on a time constraint. We're always like with the church. They always have about a 1 hour and 15 minute service. We open up our doors and we hang out for the first 15 minutes. So that means we only have 1 hour to do business at Thrive. So I never get to tell you how much this man means to me. Doug, for how long, man? Since 2002.
10 years.
Yeah, it's been 11 years since
we... Happy anniversary.
Yeah, happy anniversary, sweetheart. Oh, gosh. But, man, when we had first met... Oh, thanks, buddy. When we first met... we'll get you on. Don't worry, man. When we first met, Doug and I were, man, we were just heathens. I can't tell you what he was doing in the boys' camping area at that time. But I remember, man, we had so much. We just had so much fun. Listen, we were both so rough around the edges. I mean, seriously, I would fight anybody at the drop of a dime. And Doug was just having the time of his life. And what I loved about him was his amazing ability to connect with people. I just felt like, and I still look up to him in so many ways in this. I just feel like he is the best person ever at connecting with people, at getting them to open up, at speaking into their lives, into their hearts. Man, can I just tell you that I love Doug with all my heart. I just absolutely love him, and I love the ministry that God has given him. He's given him a specific. If you're a line by line note taker, you love when Doug comes in here, right? Now, how many of you loved Ryan Paskey when he was in because he had those notes? I mean, man, that was awesome, unbelievable message. He has fill-ins, handouts, and everything. I mean, God has to bring people like this because I'm all over the place all the time, and I know that. But man, let's be expectant of God tonight. Let's pray real quick as Doug comes up and ministers the word of God to us. Man, would you just close your eyes? Would you just open up your hearts to the word of God tonight and just agree with me in prayer? God, I thank you so much that in the name of Jesus, we get everything that is in Doug tonight for us. God, I thank you that you have your way. You speak your word into our life, God, and we thank you so much for the grace deposit that's on his life. God, you've sharpened him as a man, God, in so many ways, in leadership, in friendship, in ability, in insight into the scriptures, God. And I thank you so much that we get everything that he needs, that he has inside of him tonight because we need it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give Doug a hand. Come on.
Great. Hey. I don't know if this is work. Hey. Can you guys hear me now? Now. Everybody? Great. How's everyone doing? Good Jack Frost so far? Yeah, really? Come on. It's New Year's Eve. Are you guys excited for 2014? It's awesome. Well, man, it's an honor to be here. Man, everything Zach said totally goes right back to him and Lauren. We love them. Man, my favorite thing, I love watching what God does in people's lives. And I'm actually going to be sharing about Zach and Lauren and Sean Moore tonight in my message. But man, I love seeing what God's done in and through their lives in the past 10 years. And just even, I just love it. I'll talk about it later, but I'm just so excited and so grateful for their friendship and grateful for their ministry. And that's it. So for those of you who may not have met me or anything, my name's, you can call me Bubba. That's awesome. Doug, too. It doesn't matter. Bubba. Just call me. I'll always be Bubba. It's awesome. But I do want to introduce my wife is here. She's awesome. She's beautiful. She's my best friend. We play Moose on a Shelf. Everyone else plays Elf on a Shelf. We don't have kids. So we collect moose everywhere we go, like stuffed moose, not like the actual stuffed animal. Oh, it's an actual stuffed animal, but not like the big animal. You get it. But anyway, we hide them all around the house. It's awesome. That's it. That's all you need to know about us. I work at Light of Life Rescue Mission. We're a nonprofit on the north side, and we help the homeless, needy, addicted, and abused in a lot of ways. And I've been there for 3 years. And so that's it. That's all you need to know about me. I usually like to start with a funny story, but I don't have to. It's up to you guys. Yeah? Okay. That's what I expected. Okay, so you have options. So I have two short ones that are quick and somewhat funny. I guess I never know if they're funny or not. But you have two quick ones or the ping ping pong ball joke. Ping, 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 ping. Who wants the someone gave me a ping ping pong ball today, so that was awesome. But who wants the ping pong ball? All right, who wants two funny stories? That was loud. Two funny stories? Pink ping pong ball. All right. Laura hates this joke. She's like, seriously, never tell this again. I'm going to kill you. Surprise. But, all right, I'll try to make this quick because it is a longer joke, but pink ping pong ball. So if you've heard it, don't ruin the ending because that's my favorite. But how many of you guys have never heard it? Pink ping pong. All right, about half. Awesome. Great. All right, so how many of you are only children? You're the only child in your family? A couple people. How many of you guys know when you're an only child, you're spoiled rotten, right? Because your parents don't have to split up gifts with anybody. You get everything. You're the only child. And so there was a couple, and they were trying forever to have kids. They couldn't have kids. They couldn't have kids. And after 10 years, they finally, God gave them a child. And it was their only child. And they're like, we're going to do everything we can to bless this kid his entire life. And so they were all fired up about it. So time goes on. You know, he turns 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5's about the age where they start, like, really going crazy and everything. And it was his 5th birthday, and it was an exciting birthday. It's halfway to 10. And they said, son, we'll buy you anything you want for your birthday. You can have Angry Birds. I don't know what's cool for 5 years old. Zach might know. What's cool? Some toys. But he did this kid, Ninja Turtles, right? Legos. They offered him all these things. They're like, you can have everything. And he said, I just want a pink ping pong ball. They're like, we didn't even offer you that. It's not even an option. He's like, no, that's all I want is a pink ping pong ball. So they're like, all right, he's 5 years old. Whatever. Here's a pink ping pong ball. Tonight I have an illustration. And they gave him a pink ping pong ball. 5 years pass, every single year, Christmas, birthday, every special occasion, they ask him what he wants. He says, I want a pink ping pong ball. He finally turns 10. They don't get him one because they're like, you already have one. You're kind of crazy about this. But he turns 10, same thing. Son, you can have a bicycle. You can have a swimming pool, a dirt bike, whatever you want. He said, no, I just want a pink ping pong ball. I'm like, really? So they get him a pink ping pong ball, and he continues to ask for them year after year. So they finally are starting to get the point. So he turns 16 years old. He gets his license. They actually bought him a car. He didn't really care about the car, but they bought him a car, and what he did care about was they put two pink ping pong balls in, like, the rearview mirror. Instead of dice, they were pink ping pong balls. And he was so excited. He's like, you guys are awesome. How do you know I would love that? So he's up to 4 pink ping pong balls. He graduates high school, valedictorian. Guess what he got? A pink ping pong ball. Goes to college, graduates top of his class. He gets a pink ping pong ball. He meets the love of his life. He gets married. They hold hands on the wedding cake. And on the wedding cake, the couple is holding a pink ping pong ball. It's really, really cute. He gets his first house, pink ping pong ball. So now he has this whole collection of pink ping pong balls. I don't know if you guys collect stuff. So like Laura and I have stuffed moose everywhere. This kid had pink ping pong balls everywhere. So he keeps going. He keeps getting pink ping pong balls, new job, promotion, everything. So finally, he ends up one day getting diagnosed with a disease, and he's terminal, and they said, you only have 6 months to live. So obviously, this was a big shock to the family, and he's in the hospital, and they're like, well, how can we make his last 6 months the best 6 months? And so they decorate the room, and they actually, the last thing they bring into the room is all the pink ping pong balls he's ever had in his entire life, and they put them on the mantle. And each one was specifically labeled for the occasion of where he got it. So 5th birthday, 10th birthday, car, etc. When they brought that in the room, he lost it. He just starts crying, bawling in bed. And he's just like, oh my gosh, you guys, out of everything you've done and everything you could have brought, this is the greatest thing. You guys know me so well. Thank you. And at that moment, it hit his dad. His dad was like, oh my gosh. We've never asked, like, why he has this whole obsession with pink ping pong balls. Like, what the heck? Like, we've been doing this our whole lives, but we just kind of took it for granted when he was a kid. But now he's an adult and he loves them just as much. It's kind of weird. So he went over to his son. And he was like, son, I just have to ask you. I know we've never asked you, but what's this whole pink ping pong ball thing? You've always asked for them. We've always got them for you, but we never asked why. And the kid smiles, and he's like, oh my gosh, Dad, I thought you would never ask me. He looked in his eyes and said, Dad, the reason I always wanted a pink ping pong ball was, and then he died. That's it. He's dead. And I took his last pink ping pong ball. All right, let's pray. Great. Father, you guys all got quiet. Father, thank you so much for this time together, Lord. Lord, I thank you for Jack Frost. I thank you just for the vision for this that you put in Zach and Lauren's heart. Lord, I thank you just for having it here and everything you're doing here. I thank you for every student that's here tonight and that's been here over the past couple of days. Lord, I thank you for every message that's been spoken, every time they've worshiped you, every word that you've spoken to everyone, Lord. I just pray that people value what you've given them this week, Lord, and will continue to give them. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, they wouldn't just take what they learned this week and what you gave to them and just go home and forget about it, Lord, but they'd actually do something with what you put in their heart this week, Father God, and you would increase it as a result of them doing something. So I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the next few minutes, Lord, as we just share your word, Lord. I pray that every word comes out of me would be of you and not me, Lord. Lord, I have nothing to say, Lord, but you have a lot to say, Lord, and I just pray that you would get your message across. Lord, I pray if anyone needs anything that's not my message, Lord, that you would deal with their hearts specifically, Lord. You know every need here, Lord. You know every desire. You know exactly where people are at. And I just pray that you meet people right where they're at tonight, Father. And we just thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Awesome. Well, man, how many of you guys love that worship band, the team, right? That was awesome. I was so fired up, I couldn't sit still. I mean, I had 4 shots of espresso before I got here, but I was like running back and forth in the back. Man, that last song, more and more and more of God. And man, I believe that's a word for tonight, is more. You know, the message I'm talking to you guys about is called Be One of God's Go-To's. Everyone say, Be One of God's Go-To's. It's kind of a tongue twister, right? Be one of God's go-to's. Like, what does that mean? I want to talk to you about how to become one of God's go-to people. Have you ever noticed that, man, it seems like God uses some people more than others? And it's like, wow, God's doing this, this, and this in this person's life. But this person, they're kind of walking with God, but God's not really using them. And what separates those two? How come some people seem to get more with God and other people don't? And I want to explain that tonight. I mean, I believe God put a word on my heart on how you can get more. When we were worshiping, Hebrews 11:6 popped up in my heart where it said, man, everyone who comes must believe and believe that God's a rewarder. Everyone say a rewarder. Must believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And man, I've always loved that verse, Hebrews 11:6. It says that God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And he is. And when I was younger, I used to be like, oh, that's awesome. Man, when I seek God, he'll reward me and I'll have an awesome wife and an awesome house and man, God will bless me and I'll have influence and all these things. And all those things can be true. Man, God wants to bless your life. He wants you to have a good marriage. He wants you to have a great family one day. But the more and more I grow my relationship with God, I've found that God doesn't necessarily reward you with stuff. He rewards you with more of him. And the more of him you have, the more stuff you can get and the more wisdom and everything like that. But that's not what it's about. God rewards you with more of his presence, with more of his wisdom, with more of him. And that's all you need. If you have God, that's all you need in life. And I want to get a vision in you tonight to just want more of him. Because if you want more of him, you'll have more influence, you'll make a bigger difference, and all those things and desires you want, you will have. But it won't be because you just want that stuff and want the influence and want these things. It's because you want more of him. Awesome. You want more of him. Man, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I was listening to Keith Moore the other day, and I love this. He said, you know, in 10,000 years, no one's going to care what vacation you went on or what house you lived in or what cool experiences you had. And listen, I'm all about all that stuff. I love experiences. I love to travel. But do you know none of that matters in the long run? Do you know in 10,000 years, no one's going to be talking about where I went to Christmas this year? No one. But what people will be talking about is what God did at Jack Frost. What people will be talking about is what God did in and through your life. And the difference that you made. And that's what's really important in life. Man, Zach and I have been walking with God for the past 11 years in ministry. And man, God's blessed us both. He has an awesome wife, awesome family. But man, we talk about that stuff and it's great. But what we love talking about is what God's doing in and through our lives. There's nothing greater. And there's nothing greater in your life than what God is doing in and through you. And so I want to talk to you about, first I'm going to just share a little bit about getting a vision in you for more, specifically in the area of making a difference. And then I want to talk to you about how to actually get more in any area of your life, more of him. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, you guys can write this down. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." The Lord's looking to and fro. God, a lot of times we think we're waiting for God. But the reality is God's waiting for us. A lot of times God has to develop us. He has to grow us into where he wants us to be. And a lot of times God's just looking for someone to say, God, here I am. Here I am. I want to be used by you. God, I'm willing to do anything, go anywhere, say anything. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll follow you where you tell me to go. God's looking for people that will do that. And man, I believe I'm in a room of people who will stand up and say, God, here I am. How many of you guys would say, I want to be one of those people? God, use me any way you want. Man, I want to be one of the people. I want to be one of your go-to people. I don't know about you, but whenever I know that God spoke to my heart about something and I actually do it, nothing gets me more fired up. Because it's like, oh my gosh, God trusted me enough to speak to my heart to do something and I did it. I must be one of God's go-to people. And I know he's speaking to you. He's spoken. I've heard stories. I think one of you guys paid for scholarships for kids to go to camp. And man, God used you. You're one of God's go-to people. It's the greatest privilege you can ever have, is to be one of God's go-to people in the world. You know, Jesus prayed this prayer about being used by him. He actually prayed, Our Father, you guys are familiar with this, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Everyone say, your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus prayed that the will of God would be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Man, Jesus, do you know that Jesus actually prayed for you in the book of John? He prayed for you that you would do the will of God and that you would bring the will of God to earth. And the only way that God's will gets done on the earth is through people, through God's go-to people. The only way God can get his will done is through people. And here's what I know. He'll use people who are available and willing and will do what he tells them to do. That's who he's looking for. And he wants to use you. He wants to use you to bring God's will to pass in the earth. And here's what I do know. If you don't do the will of God and what he tells you to do, he'll have someone else do it. And that's why you see some people doing more and other people not doing as more, because some people just aren't obeying what God tells them in their heart to do. And we need to get to a place in our hearts where as soon as God speaks to our hearts, we act immediately and we do what he tells us to do. So if our mission is to do the will of God on earth, I wrote this down. You guys were talking about revival. Is that true? You guys praying for revival? Man, it's happening. You guys are a part of it. Man, I work at Light of Life, and one of my favorite thing about working at Light of Life, it's great that we help the homeless. It's great that all that stuff is awesome. But my favorite part personally is I feel like I get an 80,000-foot view of what the kingdom of God is doing in Pittsburgh. At Light of Life, I get to interact with hundreds of churches, with businesses, with nonprofits, with families, with individuals, and we're a Christian organization. In all of these places, I get to see God moving in the South Hills, North Hills, East Hills, West Hills. There's such thing. He's moving everywhere. And guys, we're in the middle of God moving in Pittsburgh, in Western PA, and in the Northeast. And this church is part of that call. You're a part of that call. You are a part of what God's doing in this city. Something that's been on my heart for the past year and a half, I've shared it here before, but there was a group of four men on Mount Washington. They used to get together in Pittsburgh and pray over the city. And the one guy, his name was Sam Shoemaker, he got a word from God while he was praying over the city of Pittsburgh that one day the city of Pittsburgh would be more famous for God and what God's doing in it than steel or the Steelers or anything else. And I believe we're on our way there, and I believe our generation is a huge part in that. But if that's going to happen, if revival's going to happen, if the will of God is going to be done in Pittsburgh, if that's going to happen, we need go-to people. We need everyone. How many of you guys have ever heard of Carl Lentz? He's the pastor of Hillsong New York. Now, he has a message called Occupy All Streets. I just love that saying. I'm not a cool like him. I don't wear like V-necks. If I did, you'd see cleavage. But I wish I could look like that, But man, occupy all streets. And all that means is whatever street you own, whatever street you are, occupy it for Christ. If you're a student, occupy your school for Christ. If you're in college, occupy your college for Christ. If you're in Thrive, occupy Thrive for Christ. If you're a leader, occupy your role as a leader wherever you go for Christ. It's about being who you are, where you are. That's what ministry is. Ministry isn't someone speaking up here in worship. That's part of ministry. But ministry is just simply you being you and doing what God put in your heart to do and doing what he says to do. Occupy all streets. That's how revival is going to come in Pittsburgh. That's how revival is going to happen in your school and in the Northeast, is everyone occupying their streets for Christ. I just read a book called David and Goliath. Really good book by Malcolm Gladwell. And I don't even remember which chapter this was in, but I just remember the numbers. He had a 15-70-15 rule. Everyone say 15-70-15. It'll help you remember. So he basically said in all societies of influence, there's 15% of the society that uses their influences for good. They influence culture, and they're leaders, and they make they're difference makers. Then there's a middle 70%. Everyone say 70%. In every culture, there's about 70% of the people who are just followers. They're waiting to be persuaded one way or another. And then the bottom 15% are people that are just evil. Man, they're the people that bring people down, and they're influencing those 70% for bad things. And so the vision I want to get in your heart is to be a 15% of one of God's go-tos. God wants you to be in that top 15% and use you to influence and change the lives of that 70% until we take over everything, until the will of God is fully complete in the earth. Be a 15%er. Get a vision of God using you in huge ways. Listen to this research done by Jim Collins. He wrote Good to Great, which is a book in business. But this is crazy. The total number of philosophers who are significant in world history is approximately 135 to 500 people. A small number if we take only the major figures in each world civilization. Even if we add minor figures of all the networks in all of civilization, the total is about 2,700 people. Here's the catchphrase. In summary, between 150 and 3,000 people, a tiny fraction of the roughly 23 billion people living between 600 BC and 1900 frame the major contours of all world civilizations. You might say, what does that mean? I don't even know. No, I'm just joking. But man, between 150 and 3,000 people were the ones that influenced the 23 billion. Sounds kind of like that 15-70-15. I'm sure the percentages are skewed. But man, small amounts of people changed the world forever. They shaped the world and shaped what it was. And you can be a part of that. You can be a world changer. God's called you to be a world changer, and he wants to use you to change the world, I'm telling you. He wants to use you in the streets that you occupy to change the world. But you have to be willing, and you have to be willing to do things that he tells you to do, and that's what we're going to talk about. Everyone say, what's up? I had nothing to tell you to say. Okay, but this vision of being a world changer, I hope it's in you. But how do you actually become one? How do you actually become someone of influence? How do you actually influence and influence the 70%? How do you actually make a difference with your life? How do you occupy your street? How do you do it? Because it's easy to see people that are doing it, but we don't necessarily know why they're doing it. And one of the greatest things I think you can do, Keith Moore said this, and I've always done it. Keith Moore said at a young age, he always learned to do this, that if he saw God using someone in big ways, in a huge platform, he would always pray to God and say, God, what is it about them that's allowed them to be used by you in such a significant way? What is it about them? And that's what I see. When I see God using people in big ways and they're influencing lots of people for Christ and lives are getting changed, I'm like, God, what is it about them? What about Stephen Furtick that you're able to use them in such a significant way in Charlotte? What about Carl, you know, et cetera? How are you able to use them? And the one theme that I've seen over and over and over and over again, and really I think it's, I don't want to say it's the only answer, but I think it's the most important answer, is faithfulness. Everyone say faithfulness. Faithfulness. Look at your neighbor and say faithfulness. Faithfulness. I want to spend the rest of the time just talking to you about faithfulness. And man, I believe it's a word for you and a theme for you in 2014, but not just in 2014. It's going to be a theme in your life in 2015, in 2016, in 2017. Faithfulness. Everyone say it again. Say faithfulness. Faithfulness. It's huge. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 25. We're going to spend pretty much the rest of our time there. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Matthew 25. Is everyone there? Do you guys need like a midtime joke? I don't know if I should tell this, but I think this is hilarious. I'm going to get in trouble. Rachel, should I tell? I was going to tell them our secret. What? All right. I just think it's funny. How many of you guys go to the main service ever? Now, I'm not doing this. I'm going to get in so much trouble. All right, but you guys can't tell anyone this, all right? Like, this day, what happens with Jack Frost stays with Jack Frost. Seriously, I'll get excommunicated from the church. All right, I love Pastor Moore. He's like one of my favorite people on the planet. Seriously, that's not a joke. I love him. But I, like, in going to main service, I notice that every single time when he prays, when people leave, he always has the same prayer. And I love it. I think it's like the funniest thing ever now. He always says, should I continue with this, Zach? He goes, I can't stand like him, but he's like, Lord, thank you, blah, blah, blah. He'll say blah, blah, blah. He doesn't say that, but he always finishes this way. He goes, thank you for prospering and blessing your people as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. I think that's the greatest thing ever. So that's like my prayer all the time. I always go up to Rachel Moore. I'm like, God, thank you for blessing and prospering your people as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. So just pray that over everyone. See, it's not even that funny. I'm the only one who thinks it's funny. That's it. Listen to it, though. It's awesome. It's a good prayer, though. That tanked. Faithfulness. Everyone say faithfulness. Who's in Matthew 25? Awesome. All right, Matthew 25, we're picking up in verse 14. It says, again, the kingdom of God can be illustrated. This is Jesus talking. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities, and then he left on their trip. The first thing I want to talk to you about unfaithfulness in those scriptures is that you notice that everyone got something. Everyone say everyone got something. One person got 5 or 4, one person got 2, and one person got 1. But everybody got something. And do you know that God put something in each and every one of you? Everyone here has a gift that God's put in you. You have abilities that God's put in you. Everyone has something. And you may think your something isn't significant. You might not be up front, you might not be this, you might not that, but I'm here to tell you that everything God gives you is significant. And never take that for granted. And God can take what seems insignificant to you and do something extremely significant with it. But I want to know that no one here received nothing from God. God has a plan for your specific life, every single one of you, not just the person left of you, not to the person to the right of you, you. He gave you gifts, he gave you skills, he gave you your personality, your looks, for specific reasons. You were born at this time for specific reasons, to make a specific difference for him. Everybody has something. The key isn't what you start with, the key is what you do with what you start with. It's not important what God put inside you, what is important is what you do with it. And that's what we're about to read here. Jesus went on to say, so the master left, he split up the talents, and it says the servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went on and earned 2 more. But the servant who received nothing, or the 1 bag of silver, dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, the master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. I'll stop there again. He came back and he called them to give an account for what he did with what he gave them, or what they did with what he gave them. And do you know that one day we're all going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for what he gave us? He's going to say, hey, I put that in you. What did you do with that? I gave you the gift to sing. I gave you the gift to be good with people. I gave you the gift to be a good counselor. I gave you the gift to play music. I gave you the gift to fill in the blank, whatever God gifts you. What did you do with it? He's not going to ask you what your best friend did with their gift or what this person did with their gift. He's going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? We're all going to have to answer that question. Let's see what these guys answered. The servant who had entrusted with the 5 bags came forward with 5 more. And he said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful. Everyone say faithful. My good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. Everyone say faithful. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now, everyone say now. Now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. What I want you to notice about the two that received praise for what they did something with what God gave them, or what the master gave them. They doubled their investment, or what was invested to them, entrusted to them. And as a result, they both got the same reward. They got a praise from the master, well done, my good and faithful servant, and it said, now I will give you many more responsibilities. He said that to both of them. And he doesn't say how much more responsibility or how much more he gave either of them. So it doesn't matter if you start with 2 talents or 5 talents, God can multiply that 10 billion times. You can start with 1 talent, quote unquote, with what seems like nothing, and God can multiply it 1 billion times, and you can end up 10 times more than the person that started with 5. So it does not matter with what you start with. God gave you everything, and if you'll be faithful with it and you'll do something with it, there's no limit to what God can do in and through what he's given you. But it's what you do with what you have it's what you do with what you have. It's faithfulness. Let's see what happened to the last guy. Then the servant with 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid. Everyone say, I was afraid. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it. Everyone say, hid it. So I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. The master replied back, You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. So many times, again, I don't think it's significant how much this guy got, but he didn't do anything with what God gave him. And so many times, why? Because he was afraid. And fear holds us back. If you were at Thrive a few weeks ago, I talked about fear a lot. Man, fear is one of the biggest things that hold us back. And sometimes we're afraid to use our gift because we don't think it's significant. Other times we're afraid to use our gift and what God's given us because we're afraid that we'll fail, or we're afraid we'll look stupid, or we're afraid that we'll never do anything significant with it. And we have to overcome both of those fears, because God can do a lot with your little. And it's not about what you can do. Again, you didn't give yourself the gift. God gave it to you, and it's about what he can do with what he's put in you. And God could do anything. You might not be able to do much with what he's put in you, but God can do a lot with what he's put in you. But if you don't value it, if you don't value what he's given you, and you don't do anything with it, and you hide it, you're going to give an account, and God's going to say, I gave you all these gifts, all these abilities, and you did nothing with it? I called you to change the world. I called you to be a world changer. I called you to occupy all your streets, and you didn't do anything because you were afraid? You had the God of the universe on your side, with you, everywhere you go, and you didn't do anything? Guys, we can't let fear hold us back from using what God's put in us. Let's see what happens at the end here. The master replied, You wicked and... we read that. Verse 28. Then he ordered, Take the money from this servant, the one who didn't do anything with it, and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. Here's the key, guys. Is it up there? Yeah. Man, write this verse down, underline this. To those who use well what they are given. Everyone say what they are given. To those who use well what they are given, even more. Everyone say more. Even more. Everyone say it again. Say more. Say even more. Say it again. Even more. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. Everyone say abundance. But though, from those who do nothing, even what they have will be taken away. When you don't obey God and do something with what he's done, he has to use other people. And he'll use them more. And the people that do something with what they have always get more. And that's what faithfulness is. I wrote this definition, if you're a definition person. I just wrote this down for faithfulness. Faithfulness is doing exactly what you're told to do, when and how you're told to do it. It's using well what you have right now in your hand. Doing exactly what you're told, how you're told to do it, with what's in your hand. People who are faithful with what God gives them always get more. People who are unfaithful with what God gives them get less. I'll read that again. People who are faithful with what God gives them get more. People who are unfaithful with what God gives them get less. See, the key to being used for used by God more is faithfulness. Faithfulness with what is in front of you right now. Everyone say right now. The gifts you have in front of you right now. Everyone say right now. The opportunities you have in front of you right now. Everyone say right now. Faithful with what's in front of you right now. The guy with five pieces of silver didn't say, oh, I need six to get started or I can't get started now. He had to do something with what was in his hand. And you have to do something with what God's put in your hand. The opportunities God's put right in front of you. You know, I'm going to share three quick stories about three people that you guys all know. One is me, okay? And I'm not saying I've arrived or anything like that, but when I was 18, your guys' age, man, I get so fired up when I see, like, Olivia's up here, and Sarah, and all you guys, and Matt, and Luke, and all the student leaders. You know how fired up I get? You know why I get fired up? Because that was Zach and me 10 years ago, doing exactly what you're doing. And I can see a vision for the next 10 years of your life if you'll continue to be faithful with what God gave you. See, when I was 18, I wasn't even allowed to do announcements or do anything cool. My only responsibility for an entire year when I was interning was washing pitchers and setting up and down youth group. And we used to have youth group in Adrian's Pizza and Panera Bread back in the day. Now you guys have this. What the heck? Right? But, man, I actually quit. I quit interning because I thought it was so ridiculous that that's all I had to do. Pastor Larry left for a 10-week sabbatical, and I quit. I'm like, I'm out of here. And long story short, I ended up coming back, but for a whole year, all I did was wash pitchers, set up, tear down. And then later, I've talked to Pastor Larry since then, and I'm always like, Pastor Larry, I would get so mad because I'd see all these other people got to do cool stuff like give offering or do announcements, and I'm just washing pitchers. And he said, Bubba, it's not that we didn't want you to do other stuff. You weren't capable of doing anything else. Wasn't that special? But man, I was faithful for a year, washing pitchers, setting up, tearing down. After about a year being faithful with that, God opened up doors. And I remember Pastor Larry coming to me. He's like, hey, I want you to do offering at Panera Bread. I'm like, oh my gosh, me speak? Are you kidding me? Do you know how nervous I was? And do you know how bad it was? I still have my notes. My offering, I didn't even use scripture. I used lyrics from the song My Girl. Believe it. It was the part where it's like, I don't need no money, baby. That's all I remember. And my point was like, money's not important. That was my first offering. I was scared to death. It was horrible. And you know, I never even knew I could speak in front of people. I was a nervous wreck. I didn't know it was a gift. And man, I was faithful with doing offerings. Zach and I and our friend Ben, we always joke about the season of offerings. Because we had to do offering after week, after week, after week, after week, after week. But do you know that because I was faithful with buckets, God opened a door for a gift that I didn't even know I had? And do you know that there's gifts inside of you that you don't even know you have, but if you're not faithful with what is in your hand now, you'll never get to what God has for you next? And there's gifts unawakened in you, things you don't even know you're good at yet that God wants to open up, but he can't open up until you're faithful with what's in your hand right now. Some of you are called to speak. Some of you are called to worship, sing worship, and you've never picked up a guitar or sang in your entire life. Some of you are called to start businesses and you've never even thought about that. But none of that matters with what you're ultimately called to do. It doesn't matter that I was supposed to be speaking here 10 years ago when I was washing buckets. All that mattered was what I was doing and what you do with what's in your hand right now. I was faithful with the buckets. God opened up a door for this. And then he opened up a door for this. Faithfulness. Everyone say faithfulness. Second story. My boy Sean Moore. How many of you guys love Sean Moore? He was here Sunday night, right? So one of my favorite quotes on faithfulness, Keith Moore always says this. He said, if you want to see if someone's faithful, give them a broom. If you want to see, you can write that down because it's awesome. If you want to see if someone's faithful, give them a broom. Say, hey, go mop the floor. And you'll see if someone's faithful or not. And what I love about Sean's story is I met Sean when he was in ninth grade. And then we really became friends because I had a seizure and I couldn't drive for like 6 months when I was in college. And Sean actually had to drive me home from school. Except for most of the time I would just spend on the phone in the car with him, I'd just talk to Laura, so he hated me. He's like, what kind of jerk is this? He doesn't even talk to me. He just talks to his girlfriend on the way home. So Sean hated me, and it took him a while to actually like me. That has nothing to do with Sean, but well, it does. But what I love about Sean is Sean's first job here at the church, do you guys know that he was a janitor? That he was on the maintenance team? That he wore like a navy blue outfit and mopped floors while listening to sermons all day? I love that. I love that because I saw Sean get promoted with being faithful with a broom. I saw God open up doors. I remember the first time Sean led worship for our junior high ministry. I don't even remember what it was called then. And Sean wasn't very good. But, man, he was faithful with the opportunity. And, man, he got better and better. And God opened doors for him to lead more and more. And then he came on staff with the youth. And then he got to lead worship for the youth in 19 North. And, man, God opened up a door because he was faithful with that opportunity. He's leading worship for main service. Every time I see Sean up there, I want to cry. Because it's a result of being faithful with what he had right now. Sean was faithful with the broom. He was faithful in the junior high room. He was faithful in the senior high room. He was faithful in 19 North. And now he's being faithful with the main service. And this isn't the end for Sean. Man, it's just the beginning of what God wants to do. And who knows what's next? I have no idea. But I know that Sean's being faithful right now. Your season of faithfulness will never end. It doesn't matter how high you go or how much influence you get. You will always have to be faithful with what's in your hand right now. Then the third story is Zach and Lauren. And I don't even know all their story, but I'm just going to make it up. But when I met them, like Zach said, we were all just like punks. We didn't know anything. And Zach and Lauren were already in love. I remember there was an intern rule that you couldn't date. And I just broke the rule. But Zach actually got like a pardon from the rule because him and Lauren were so in love. And they were like they were the best couple ever. They still are. But man, they were dating. But Zach and Lauren were faithful and God opened up a door. I don't even know the whole story. Zach can tell you, and he may have. But I remember he like, didn't you start playing guitar and then you got to be a worship leader at Upper Room at Geneva? So he was faithful with being a worship leader. Then he got to take over a ministry at Upper Room at Geneva College and he was faithful with that. Then he graduated and God opened up a door for him to be like an assistant to Pastor Larry leading the youth ministry here. And he was faithful with that opportunity. And then God opened up a door. 19 North dwindled down to 3 people. And God opened up a door for Zach and Lauren to jump in. And man, I still remember, I think I went to their house afterwards and they were like, we jumped up and down for like 6 months, or not 6 months, for like an hour because we were so excited that God opened up this door for us to lead this. His legs hurt. That's awesome. But man, they jumped up and down. They got so fired up because God opened up a door. But God opened up a door because they were faithful with what he put in their hand. And as they were faithful with 19 North, it grew and it grew and it grew. And man, God opened up a door for them to lead this ministry. And now they're leading 2 ministries, which is crazy. But man, look what God is doing. I just told Zach before the service, man, I love the genuineness of all of your walks with God and everybody that sits under Zach and Lauren's ministry. I love that. You can't fake a genuine move of God. You can't fake a genuine desire for God. And all there's a move of God happening through Zach and Lauren's ministry, and they're being faithful with what's in their hand right now. And listen, I don't know what I know. God's called them to change the world. I don't know if they'll plant a church. I don't know if they'll. Who knows what they'll do? But they're being faithful right now, and it's making a difference in your lives. You are benefiting from their faithfulness. And don't take it for granted. Never take for granted where you are or who God allows you to be around, ever. You guys are a part of something special. Do you guys know how lucky you are to have Zach and Lauren and the leaders that you guys have? You don't. You have no idea. Zach and I were so privileged, and Lauren and Laura, and to sit under Pastor Larry and Miss Kim, and to sit under Pastor John and Michelle. Guys, this is not, it's an unbelievable, if you knew what God was doing here compared to, I mean, I've been to other churches and stuff. It's incredible what God's doing in this church. And it's so easy to just come in here and be like, oh, this is just normal youth group. Don't take these times for granted. Be faithful with the ministry that you're under right now. In fact, Jesus said this in Luke 16, 10 through 12. He said, if you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in larger ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with your own things? If you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with your own? Guys, God's called some of you to go into ministry. He's called some of you to go into education, government, business, all those things. But right now, he's called you to be faithful where you're at. You're under a ministry right now. we're under the ministry of Zach and Lauren and Pastor John and Michelle, and we're called to be faithful with that. You're called to be faithful as a greeter. You're called to be faithful as someone who creates games to play. You're called to be faithful to go and talk to someone who's not talking to anybody tonight. Jack Frost, you guys are, that's what's in your hand right now. This opportunity right now is what's in front of you. What are you doing with what's in front of you right now? Because if you're not faithful with Thrive, you won't be faithful in whatever ministry you go to in college. Be faithful now with what's in your hand, and you'll watch God open up doors. So many of you are so farther ahead than Zach and I were when we were 18 because you're being faithful with what's in your hand, and because you're sitting under and you're being faithful with another man's ministry. Keep doing that. One day you'll have your own. One day you'll have all this stuff. You'll have your own. You'll be speaking. But enjoy the journey. You guys, some of the most fun times are when you get to be faithful under, and when you're not responsible. You guys know that you're not responsible for anything right now? Really? Man, all the weight of responsibility falls on Zach and Lauren. Man, it's a fun season of being faithful under another man's. So I just want to encourage you tonight. My encouragement is just be faithful. Something that God put on my heart during worship is be faithful with what God did here at Jack Frost. I don't have the scripture memorized, but Jesus said something like, to the measure you give to what you hear, that much more will be given back to you. It sounds like it, right? But it's basically saying, man, God will trust you with great things only if you're faithful with what he spoke to your heart. If you want to go deeper in God, if you want more of God, if you want more of God's wisdom, if you want more of God's presence, you have to be faithful with the presence he's given you, with the wisdom he's given you, with the words he spoke to your heart. What did God speak to your heart this week, Jack, that you need to be faithful with when you go home? What's one thing that you need to be faithful with in 2014? What's in your hand right now? Take some time to evaluate this when you go home from that. God, what have you called me to be faithful with? Be faithful with the street God's called you to occupy. If you want to be one of the most used men and women of God on the planet, it's as simple as doing what God tells you to do. Perry Noble says this. He said, leadership is as easy as doing what God says to do, is hearing from God. Look at the Old Testament. Over and over and over again, you see God said, Moses did, God said, Moses did, God said, Joseph did. God said, God said, God said, they did. Everyone who was greatly used by God only was greatly used by God because they did what he told them to do, even Jesus. Jesus said, I only, everyone say only. Jesus said, I only do the things that I see the Father do or hear the Father say. Jesus was faithful with what God showed him to do. And that's why he was able to do what he did. Faithfulness. Be faithful in your schools. Be faithful at Thrive. Be faithful in the streets that he's given you. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for everyone in this room, Lord. I thank you for what you've given each student, Lord. Lord, you've put something in every single person in this room, Lord. And it doesn't matter how insignificant they may seem, Lord. I know that you see it as significant, Lord. And you can see the true value of what you've given them. And you can do exponentially more than they could ever dare, hope, think, dream, ask, or imagine, Father God, with what's in their hand. Lord, I pray that you show each person in this room, including myself, Father God, what we're supposed to be faithful with in 2014. Lord, the words that you've spoken to us, the opportunities that are before us, Lord, teach us faithfulness, Lord. Help us to be faithful with what we have in front of us now so we can be faithful with what you've called us to do in the long run. Lord, I thank you so much for the call that you have on each and every student here, Lord. And I thank you just for promoting them and blessing them as they're faithful, Father God. And Lord, I just thank you for what they're going to do. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Guys,
go ahead,
we're going to go back into worship, unless Zach wants to say.
No, you know what? Bubs, do you have anything on your heart for everybody in our next steps? No? Guys, we had a theme, and I think Doug was a perfect end to that theme. Doug, let me just take some notes here that we've talked about throughout this camp. I just want to let you know how right on that was, and I want to put in our remembrance, all of our remembrance, about what God has done. Chris Musgrove said this over the phone last night as he left. He said, hey, tell everybody at Thrive in your youth ministry. I told him two things. He said me to tell you two things. Number one, he hasn't seen leadership team like this one. He's been doing youth ministry for 30 years. He said, I've never seen a team like this. He's like, Zach, you have 25 leaders at a retreat. He's like, do you understand? Do you understand what that means? And I said, no. I mean, because this is normal to us, isn't it? It's just like what we do. It's what we do here. He's like, Zach,
there's no limit to what God's going to do in that ministry. He said, tell the teenagers something for me. He said, tell them to stay put and to be faithful. Tell them to stay put and to be faithful. Isn't that pretty sweet, right? He said, I feel this from God. Tell them to stay put and to be faithful. So many times they feel like they've got to run and do all these different things that are just dramatic, but let them know just to stay put and to be faithful. Another thing that God put here is, man, last night, that God's opening the floodgates. Somebody prayed, and a group of people prayed that God would open up the floodgates, and they had a prophecy that God was going to open up the floodgates, and they didn't know when that was going to happen. They didn't know how it was going to happen, but man, we were in worship last night, and we all felt it, and we all knew it, that God was opening up the floodgates in that moment. And what God had been dealing with my heart is that God is going to raise up not a group of old men in a room talking about how to make a move of God and contrive a move of God, but it was going to be something that happened from the inside out. Do you know that the biggest revivals that have happened in the East Coast have happened through teenagers? We talked about Brownsville. That's been a theme. Chris Musgrove talked about it. We had an intern this morning, in Angie Mack, who went through the Brownsville revival. Billy Spriggs was in it. Lauren was in it. We've been sharing with our leadership team. And God put on my heart that God wants to do the exact same thing here, except for in His own special way. And we're going to have a part of that in some way. And we're just going to be faithful to our part with it. But God wants to do that. He's opening up the floodgates. Do you guys believe that? Do you know what happened in Brownsville? Do you guys know the story of Hillsong? Doug, do you know the story of Hillsong? Dude, there was they came back from a camp just like this, and there was only about a group of people about this size, right? Teenagers. They had a student takeover in their main service, and they started singing the song, Did You Feel the Mountains Tremble, okay? Because God moved in that song in camp in their life, and it revolutionized them. They started singing that, and out of that song, out of that time when the teenagers... I mean, the church exploded. At that point, they got a call to be a worship church. That's how Joel Houston was like a little bugger like you. He's up front. You can see the video. He's up front singing off pitch. Did you feel that? Just like that. And it's like, you know, he's got that sweet, deep voice, you know. But did you know he was a teenager who took fire to the main church? It revolutionized everything, and that church exploded. I just think, guys, I just think that we shouldn't minimize what God's doing in our lives. I just think that we shouldn't minimize what God has in our part in this church and in this region. So Brownsville happened because a group of teenagers are worshiping God. And all of a sudden, God shows up. Hillsong happens because a group of teenagers are worshiping God. And all of a sudden, God shows up. What's the difference? What's the difference? God said this to us. Through Ryan Paskey, leadership is a throne, is not a throne, it's a bowl. Sorry. Leadership is not a throne, it's a bowl. It's not a throne for title, it's a bowl of servant. It's a bowl of what? Faithfulness, right? Faithfulness. Doug said, be faithful with the street God wants you to occupy. Last night we said that the fire in us is contagious. And today we learned that God is pleased with us. And that we can do great things. We can love other people because of the love that He's had. Guys, this has been a leadership retreat. Do you understand that? This has been a leadership retreat. It's not been a retreat to get us fired up to get and just like, yes, Jesus, I'm excited for you. It's a leadership retreat that we just say, God, I'm excited for what you're doing in me, but it's got to be contagious. It's got to move beyond me. And guys, I believe that's going to happen. I believe that's going to happen. You saying yes? My wife is with me. My wife is with me. I know Doug's with me. I know Doug's with me. I know Joe's with me. Joe, are you with me on this? I know it. I know you guys are with me on this, right? I know you guys are with me. Who's with me on this? Who's with me? Who's ready to see the power of God happen in this region? Who's ready to see God do something great in our schools? Who's ready to see God do something great in our youth ministry? Stand up to your feet. Come on. Who's ready for this? Who's ready for this? God, we are ready for you to move in and through us. Come on, keep those hands going. Keep that excitement going. God, we are ready. We are ready. Come on, let's sing out, Joe. Come on, lead us out. You don't have a microphone, but it doesn't matter. Help me out. Come on, set a fire. Let's sing it. Come on.
Set a fire down in my soul.
Come on, let's sing it out.
Contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God.
Come on, let's lift it up. Come on.
I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. Can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more.
Come on, if you want more, let's sing it out.
Set a fire down in my soul. Can't contain, can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, can't control. I want more of you, God.
Asking for more.
I want more. I want more. I want more of you, God. I want more. I want more. I want more of you, God. I want more. I want more. I want more of you, God. I want more. I want more. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Says, get the word out. Teach all these things. And don't let anyone put you down because you're young. That means your parents, your friends, your enemies. Don't let anybody put you down. And don't let anyone put you down because you're young. Teach believers with your life. By word, that means your mouth. That means the word of God. Things of life should come out of your mouth. Things of hope should be coming out of your mouth. Things that speak life should be coming out of your mouth. By your demeanor, how you act, how you walk, how you talk, by your love, how you treat people. By faith, by integrity. Stay at your post, reading scripture, giving counsel and teaching. And that special gift of ministry you were given when the leaders of the church laid hands on you and prayed for you. Keep that dusted off, baby. Keep that dusted off and in use. Listen up. Keep it. Everybody say, keep it dusted off. Come on, say, keep it dusted off, baby. That means you guys right here are the world changers. Keep it off! Keep it off! Keep it going! You guys, you're it! You're it! Keep it going! You hear me? Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. God called you! He's equipped you! He's anointed you to do it! Come on!
Set a fire down in my soul. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want
to see that again. Set a fire.
Set a
fire down in my soul that can't contain, that can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that can't contain, that can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Into action? You guys, not me. Not me, not me, not Zach, not Bubba, not Lauren, not all the leaders. You. Everybody say me.
Me.
Yes. Say dust it off, baby. Does God want to use you? Does he want to use you, Ella? Yes. Yes, he does. He wants to use you guys. There's nothing special about us. You're going to dust it off. And you're going to take what you learned and you're going to minister to each other. And I believe God's going to do something very special here tonight. Because he wants to use you. Imperfect. Doesn't have it all together. You. What we're going to do is here, the band's just going to play. And we truly believe from the bottom of our hearts that you guys can be led by the Spirit of God. That you can truly hear God's voice for somebody, or for you, or for your friend, or for somebody you don't know. What we're going to do is don't be scared, don't be freaked out, because we're family here, and we're getting ready to dust it off. And if we can't pray for each other in a family setting, man, who are we going to pray for? So what we're going to do is, I want you guys to be led. And seriously, you guys are anointed, you're equipped. I want you guys to pray for somebody. It's on your heart. Maybe somebody you don't know, maybe your friend. I don't care. Maybe three people, maybe five people, maybe one person. I want you guys to pray. I want you to mean it. I know that God is going to show up in this place. He's going to break down some walls. He's going to move. He may do some healings. He's going to do some restoring. I don't know, but it's going to be good. Because he's getting ready to dust off this generation right here and open up the floodgates. And I'm pumped. Can I pray over you guys? And after I say amen, I want you guys to go find somebody right now. Listen, your words that you pray do not have to be perfect. You do not have to pray for somebody and have it all together. It can be quiet. It can be loud. You can be nervous, and that's okay. You can just say, God, be with that person. Amen. It does not have to be special.
Also, God's a God of order. The Bible says that God's not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. When you're praying for somebody, this is not about you. This is not about making a show for you. It's about getting down and helping them and speaking a word into their heart in a good. This is not about you. Nobody in here is to draw any attention to yourself. You only draw attention to God. And seriously, if I see you drawing attention to yourself, I'm going to come down there, I'm going to shake you and say, quit it. Because I'm not going to have that happen. Because this is a genuine time, and I protect the anointing. I'm going to protect what God wants to do in this place. Now, having said that, you believe in yourself. The Bible says, don't worry about the things that you're going to say when God brings you before kings and priests. But I'm going to give you the words to say. Would you just trust God to give you the words to pray for somebody? It's just a simple act of obedience. The Bible says a prophecy is just putting air, is just a word of encouragement. You might feel just to encourage somebody. And that could happen, but don't force it. I've learned in doing altar ministry and praying for people, when you force it, it doesn't do anything. You can't force it. So don't force your prayers, but just pray for them. Also, some of you filled out a card said what you were expecting God to do in your life. Don't hesitate to open up to that person praying for you. Say, can you please pray for me? Man, I'm expecting God to heal my body. I'm expecting God to restore my mind. I'm expecting God to fill this hole in my life. And expect God to move through that other teenager who's praying for you. Would you stand up and be bold? Would you be bold and pray for somebody? You might have two words to say. You might have three words to say. Do you know that it's not the amount of words that you say when you pray that has power, but it's the Spirit of God working in and through you? Do you guys agree with us on that? Sweetie, can you encourage them one last time? Thanks.
That's it. Let's just pray. Can you guys stretch your hands up to heaven? You guys just pray out loud right now where you're at. Pray in the Spirit. Pray out loud where you're at. Get ready for God to use you. Like Zach said, it's not about you. It's about helping other people and taking that fire to somebody else. Father God, I thank you for every teenager here, that you have called them, that you have equipped them, that you give them a confidence and a boldness like they've never had before. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for every teenager here. Father God, that you're going to use them to do great and mighty things in this place, in this church, starting right here, starting right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, guys. Let's do this. Go ahead. Grab somebody right now. Start praying. Grab somebody. Look for somebody. There's lots of people that need prayer here. Maybe somebody needs a hug. Thank you, Father. You're so good, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Father God. Is there anybody? Raise your hand up if you do not have anybody praying for you right now. Raise your hand up if you don't have somebody. Do you need somebody, buddy? Okay, Andrew, right here. Right there. Who else doesn't have anybody? Raise your hand up if you don't have anybody and you need somebody. Every teenager, Lord, that you just pour out your Spirit right now in this place, Father. That you surround everybody with your love, Father. I thank you for doing great and mighty work in Thrive. A great and mighty work in this place, Jesus.